Welcome, Dr. Dolores Fazzino, to the Mindful You podcast. How are you today in San Diego?
I am doing very well, Alan, and thanks for having me on your show.
I'm always tickled to be able to go space diving with someone who has spent their life space diving into the sea of the Divine Mother and to explore the spiritual aspects of our reality. And when I read your bio, it's like, yeah, you've been swimming in the spiritual part of our reality for quite a while. And what I noticed that you're able to do is that, yeah, you got one leg in the spiritual reality and all the power that brings. And then the other leg is in the medical reality, the physical body reality of healing people's bodies. And what I understood from what you're doing, it sounds pretty clear to me, you have taken the power of the divine, brought it into the world of the physical, and using that power to heal the physical, mental, emotional blocks and barriers that block people from the realization of the divine within themselves. And that sounds like a wonderful conversation that we can have today about a little bit about your exploration into your own inner world of spirituality, and then the forms that you now have created in the outer world to support other people in reaching their divine realization within themselves. So I'm going to give you the baton, Dolores, and let's go for a walk in the park.
All right, Alan. Well, thank you so much. And yes, you're absolutely correct. I bridge the physical with the spiritual and the visible with the invisible. So, if you figure that I've been in the healthcare industry for well over 45 years, back 45 years ago, this was considered like wackadoo quackery. Okay. Because we didn't, I feel that Western medicine was really pretty narrow-minded and closed, and they had their own agenda as far as what they wanted to do, which was all fine and good. Yet I've really found that there was a huge disservice to humanity, because when, you are taking care of people, and my niche of being in healthcare is in surgery. So I'm an assistant surgeon. I assist in surgical procedures with another doctor. And what I was noticing is that, you would have somebody come in with a cancer diagnosis, and then you would have to do a surgery, and then they'd get chemo and radiation. So we'd cut the body part out. You'd get the chemo and radiation. They would be fine, maybe in remission for a little bit, and then they're back again with another cancer. For me, it was like we're doing a huge disservice by not addressing what is below the surface that is assisted in creating that physical malady for this person. And especially when it was, you had a cancer one time and then you have another reoccurrence, 2 years later. I felt like that was a huge disservice to the person, because you're never addressing the root cause of what created the cancer. It's the broad example, but it's with anything, basically. And so for me, I've been on a personal growth journey ever since I was born, pretty much. I've been pretty attuned to the spiritual essences of things. When you're born an empath, intuitive, and highly sensitive person, you're just dialed in a lot differently than the average person. You feel things at a deeper depth. And it's actually a blessing and a curse at the same time, because when you don't know how to monitor that within yourself or know what that's all about, sometimes you go off on different tangents and you get different experiences, which were probably, when I look back in my life, were a necessity to get me to where I'm at right now. We could all look back at my life. So, it's just like, you think life is a straight shot path. Well, it's not. It's like it's maneuvering around little bends and going up and down. And, and they're all growth opportunities that allow you to enrich your soul at the deepest level. So you gain that wisdom. Because we're only a small fraction of our master soul, here in this incarnation, okay? So when we tap into our innate wisdom and maybe call it your intuition, you are accessing the higher aspects of yourself that is this master soul, and you're getting the information that you need for you on your pathway to whatever you need to do in this lifetime.
Let's slow up with that one. That is quite a statement that you just made. If I understand correctly, Dolores, you're saying that there is an entity that exists outside of my physical perceptions, my physical reality. This entity is a godlike structure, and I can have a conversation with this godlike structure, and this godlike structure can somehow tell me what I should be doing in order to tell me what I should be doing. So is that what you're saying? There's some godlike outside my reality?
Well, I wouldn't say godlike structure. It's part of your reality. It's your inner world, but it's an aspect of who you are because, you know, so everything is energy. Just remember this, okay? What you and I are witnessing and looking at right now is a denser demonstration of energy, okay? Everything that we see in our physical rooms, if we were to look at it under a very, very high-powered microscope, it would be energy moving around. It's just the nature of it. The things that we don't see, like our connectedness to our intuition, if you want to call it that, it's within ourselves, but it's a higher aspect of who we are, okay? It's like a more invisible aspect that is always with us, yet it's, you know, I wouldn't call it external because to me, it's all this, you know, it's all within me. It's just a part of me that is here. And maybe I could be in another part of the world, maybe in another incarnation at the same time. It's just like little fractions of our soul come into our lifetime. And this is not because when we have multiple lifetimes over our journey as a soul, we've had, you know, for those of us who believe in reincarnation, this is what happens. It's just like parts of us are, it's just a little fracture of our master soul that is here in this time and place.
What comes to mind is the, I was raised in the Christian tradition.
Okay.
So I know the Christian stories better than I know any other stories. And one of the Christian stories is the Lord's Prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son. So in my reality, we are the sons and daughters of the divine spirit, like a spark is to a log. The log is burning and we're sparks, but the sparks come from the log, the fire of the log. It's all, we're all connected with one. Problem is that most people open their eyes in the morning and don't see one. They see lots of stuff. They experience the separation from this oneness. So let's talk about how we can begin to experience the oneness rather than the separation, daily experience the separation from the oneness.
Well, that's an interesting concept because when I think about the oneness, it brings to mind being in your body and fully present in the moment, okay? When we are separate, sometimes we pop from our body into our head, okay? Where we're either living in the past, we're projecting into the future, but we're not right here, right now, okay? So what I see oftentimes too is a huge disconnect from people being in their body and physically, you know, physically in their body and present in the moment. People in their heads, it's like, it's almost like a duality, if you want to call it that. It's like when you're in the flow of your life, you are right here, right now. And one of the gateways to get there is doing a mindful activity, okay? What we mean by mindful activity, there's a big continuum of what that is. For some people, it's as formal as sitting in lotus position, you know, chanting And then for some people, it's going out in the garden and watering their potted plants. It's like my definition of mindful activity is anything that allows you to lose all sense of time and place. And we've all had those moments where you get so involved in something, 4 hours go by and you think it was 5 minutes, right?
You bet.
That's a mindful activity. To me, that's the gateway into being physically present in your body and being in the moment where it doesn't matter. Because right here, right now, you're connected. You are connected with everything. This is where you have access to that innate wisdom that's within yourself that has the right answers for you, not for your wife, not for your children, not for society, but you. Okay. And I feel that many of us, and this has been how we've been culturally groomed, is to give that innate wisdom and power away to something outside of ourselves instead of trusting the inner wisdom that we are getting. Okay. And I think we see a lot of that today because there's a lot of noise out here, right? A lot of distraction, a lot of noise, a lot of, some good stuff, but most of it's toxic. Okay. And we are giving our power away to listening to that to get the right answer for ourselves, which may not be, because when you listen to yourself and listen to your body, we have that innate healing ability to heal ourselves, believe it or not. Too often we give it away to something outside of ourselves. Okay. We're not taking ownership and claiming our authority within our lives. So, you know, that's why I feel it's very important for people, especially if they're having health challenges, is to come within and listen to their body, because a lot of people don't listen to their body. They listen to something outside of themselves, and they've lived in this beautiful Taj Mahal their whole entire life. So they've gained all this wisdom and knowledge, and it's there for you, and your body will tell you what you need if you allow yourself and give yourself permission to listen to it, right?
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You know, the Buddhist folks, they talk about the two states. One state is the disembodied state, and the other state is the embodied state. And the disembodied state is when you're following the trains of thought inside your head, and the embodied state is when you're following, for example, your breath. And when you follow your breath,
Exactly. It
cuts the cord between you and the thoughts, because you can't focus on the body and focus on the thoughts at the same time. And so absolutely big gateway into my experience. It was a daily practice of meditation for every day for 8 years. It just gets you into that space of stillness where you are still.
I love that, still.
You're still. You are... It's like the fish in the ocean. You don't realize you're in the ocean of stillness until you become still. And when you're in stillness, the divine voice is very loud. But the problem is that the voice of the ego, defending and arguing, complaining, is yelling and screaming inside your ears, and it's only there for the preservation of its identity, and rather than the glory of God. So you see, and so we're talking about, in my reality, the ability to manage the thoughts that you think, which paint the picture of the reality that you perceive projected from the interior to the outer. So and I'm absolutely right on with the embodiment. If we ended right now, boom, if people understood that getting their body grounded, get the field of energy grounded in the space, whatever space you're in, could be washing dishes, but to be grounded and anchored, talking on a podcast, grounded, and you realize the thoughts are anti-grounded. They're not interested in ground. They take you away like a hot air balloon.
Yeah. No, that is so absolutely spot on. You know, for me, I love going on road trips. For me, that's like a mindful activity, because it's like, even, you know, driving in a car, it's just like, for me, without the radio on, it's just being fully present and just there. And it's just, there's so much to observe. And when you're fully present, it's like you see way more than you could imagine. Okay. Which is a pretty interesting concept. And I just invite people just to find something that they enjoy doing that it's like they lose time, you know, all sense of time and place. That is your mindful activity. And it's such an individual thing. What's going to be a mindful activity for you, Alan, maybe something totally counter for me or even your neighbor next door. But it's about finding what is your ground zero for you that's going to allow you to get in that space.
Yep. And you need to be motivated by saying to yourself, I'm not satisfied with the reality that I'm experiencing right now, which then creates the motivation to, well, what can I do differently? You know, and so hopefully people listen to podcasts like this and to understand that the number one tool is to get that stillness, catch the wave of stillness, and even a conscious breath, just the any time during the day.
Yep.
Just take a big breath. Oh, I'm not ready. I don't need a big breath. I know you don't need a big breath. let's just take a big breath. Oh, all right. I'll take a big breath. And you take a big breath and you become embodied. And you take deep breaths and then you become real embodied.
Well, and you know, the other thing too that's kind of up for a lot of people now and is this whole, like our neurosystems have been so overstressed for so long. It's like a lot of us have this toxic stress going on. And so your nervous system is highly dysregulated. So you're in order to assist with that, breathing deeply helps with that. And you think about it, when you breathe shallowly, you're not in your body, right? It's like sometimes it's anxiety and stuff. Guess where you are? You're in your head.
Yep.
When you take a deep breath, this is how you plant yourself in your physical body.
Yep.
And you start re-regulating your nervous system as well. It's taking it out of that fight or flight type of modality into like this place of inner calmness and just like a reset.
But I need to give up my thoughts. And I want you to know, Dolores, that my thoughts are pretty, they're like treasures. And I'm not going to just give up my thoughts that I've developed all my life and all the experiences and chocolate candy and Coca-Cola and all the things that I had in my life. I'm not giving up my thoughts about my football career. I'm not. Oh, my thoughts. I better keep my thoughts. So you and your in your anti-thought thing. No, that doesn't work for me.
Okay, so I'm going to rephrase that. It's not an anti-thought thing. It's about every piece playing nicely in the sandbox together.
So you want my thoughts to somehow exist in this empty space of nothingness. But when I'm in the empty space of nothingness, my thoughts aren't there.
No, they're still there. They're just, it's like radio waves. It's just moving through and just allowing it to be there without judging or criticizing it and just saying, thank you for letting me know. And, you know, take a deep breath. The other thing that's really important too, Alan, is, you know, I think many of us have a tendency to judge and criticize ourselves since we're talking about being in your mind and all the ego thoughts and stuff. Just practicing some self-compassion is really assistive. And what I'm going to say is self-compassion, people will say, well, what exactly is that? All you need to do is focus on the word and use it as a mantra, self-compassion. And that actually starts to help with that mind chatter, especially if it's like the negative stuff that we say to ourselves. Because let me tell you, many of us are not too kind to ourselves, right? It's just like we beat ourselves to a pulp. And, you know, this cracks me up because here we are trying to have, you know, be in our body, but yet, and then, you know, realizing that this body is at least 75% water. Okay. So when you say these not so nice things to yourself, you're basically labeling a container of water with that. And we know through Dr. Masaru Emoto, who studied water back, I want to say 20 plus years ago, when he used to label a vessel of water love. You know, when you look underneath the microscope after he froze it, it was this beautiful crystalline structure. And then when he labeled something war or peace, it was this fragmented, contorted, not so pretty looking structure. So take that into mind. You're labeling your container. What is it doing to the physiology of your body? It's creating some not so nice things that over time, guess what? You're going to be creating some not so nice things for yourself as well, right?
So you're saying that the thoughts that I think, which live in another reality, a metaphysical reality, and the thoughts that I speak are like building blocks of hell or heaven?
Yes, exactly. Because we create our own reality. Nobody does it to us. We do it to ourselves. So this is where being mindful and aware is really an important thing, because oftentimes that stuff is unconscious, okay? But it's driving the show, okay? It's driving our vehicle, basically, and creating from that. Once you start waking up and become more aware, this is where your power comes in and you could make a different choice.
It's wonderful to see it. Tunnel open up in front of me. Choice.
Yes.
Choice. Are you saying, Dr. D, that if I'm awake enough and the event is occurring, some event is occurring in the big movie in front of me, and I have the ability to choose a reaction response to that event, and mm-hmm. I can choose a response that is a lower vibration, or I can choose a response which is a higher vibration, and the higher vibration moves me more towards that divine energy, and the lower one reinforces the ego identity. That's what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Absolutely, Alan. Absolutely.
Okay, so people don't have a choice.
People always have a choice.
Well, they don't have a choice. They have a let's not get deep into the beach yet. Let me just finish the beginning. Finish. Okay. Absolutely, people have a choice. But most people drive the car on automatic. They don't drive the car with a manual transmission. So if it's on automatic, I don't have to think about the transmission of the gears. It's done automatically. That's good. That's bad. What are you talking about? But if you have a choice, there's a space between the decision. And so how do you create the space? Most people don't have the space to make the choice. They have the innate ability to make choices, but they don't use it because they're not able to create a space in order to have the time to think about high or low vibration.
That's interesting because, you know, I'm going to just interjourn from this. It's my turn. It's awesome, right. My court. So, you know, I look at humanity like this. We have people who are awake, people who are awakening, and people who will never wake up. They're asleep. Okay. And we've witnessed that in waves. I also feel that whenever there's a big catastrophe going on, just recently we had COVID. Okay. This was a huge wake up call for a lot of people. Okay. Where a lot of people woke up. Okay. They realized that life as they had known it is no longer working for them, or things have changed. Relationships have, you know, fallen away, jobs went away, you know, lots of changes in a short period of time where people were on the proverbial doing mobile, if you want to call it that, where they're constantly in motion and it's not long term and long time sustainable. Because we know when people are constantly trying to make something happen, control it, be in their head, push boulders up a hill. It's like it's a continuous stress. And we know stress over time does really bad things to your body and it ruins your immune system. And we start creating problems for ourselves. So COVID was really a grand reset, because how do you get people off the proverbial merry-go-round of life? Just stop everything for 2 weeks. Now, it was very telling for me. I don't know what your experience was. Some people could not stop. When they were told that they needed to not do anything, they were doing anything that they could to distract themselves from being by themselves because they didn't know. And then some people realized, okay, what am I going to do with this? And some people realized that they needed to make some changes and to implement some other things in their lives. And other people who have been doing practices like this, it was like people said, how are you coping with? I said, it's like business as usual for me. I mean, I'm going through life like, you know, but it was interesting to witness what was happening. So what I'm saying is that these are opportunities for people that humanity's given for people to awaken, to realize that there's more going on. And maybe it's a time to go stop focusing on the external and come within to the internal to have a relationship with yourself. Because many of us don't have a relationship with ourselves. And newsflash, the longest relationship you're ever going to have in your life is the one you have with yourself. So how are you treating it? Are you nourishing it? Are you feeding it? Are you watering it? Are you making it rest? Are you in communication with it? No, our normal tendency is to compare ourselves with something outside of ourselves that is such a bloody illusion that it's a huge disservice. So that's my spiel.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sticking to it.
All right. I'm taking a stand.
Yes, I'm taking a stand.
A stand for love. I'm going to take a stand. I don't care what you say. I'm taking a stand for love.
Stand for love. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah. So, it's interesting just to observe. So circling back to what you're saying about choice and not choice and people feeling like they don't have a choice. When you are realizing that you're not totally unhappy with whatever's going on, it's like you hit this wall. Right? The proverbial wall that's there. And it's very telling for me when I work with people that when they are basically, what's the expression? I'm effing over this. You know what I'm saying? I'm done with this. Usually this is when I know that they're going to have a major breakthrough because you are up against your wall and it's like that whole energy is going to push that over and it's going to open up a whole different next level for you.
One of the ways I look at that one is that you have lived under the grace of the ego. And under the grace of the ego, you've experienced the world of good and evil. And now after a while of saluting that flag, you realize that you are sad and you feel something is missing in your life. And that begins the seeker. You begin to seek. You know what you're seeking, but you know you're seeking something, and you just your mind opens up, and so you now doubt the grace of the ego, and then you return as the noise settles down, as the noise begins to quiet, because part of the game is you got to become quiet, very quiet, and as you become very quiet, you hear the second voice. Of the Holy Spirit and divine Mother, divine God, whatever word you want to say, I like the Holy Spirit because it makes me a spirit, and a spirit is boundless. There's no borders to a spirit. You're a spirit. I'm a spirit, and so it's beyond the body, and so you realize that there is a field of energy called the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will make all the decisions for you. What do you mean? I got to give up? Yep. You got to give up your identity. You got to give up your grace from the ego and go back to the grace of God. So you did the great fall from the Garden of Eden, and now you get to return to the garden. What's the garden? The garden is a garden of non-judgment. Everything just is, which all the books that I've read, you get to the point where you come into the movie over the blank slate. And when you have the blank slate, you then have the paintbrush to paint love on the screen. And that's that oneness people want. And so you are in the love painting business, and you bring love and you bring divine light into people's lives, and you have the merit badge of I'm a doctor, so people will open up and say, oh, really? Please, what can you do? So then you can plant those spiritual seeds in their reality, which dissolve the glue that holds the ego stuff together, and people can take a breath. It's like, wow, what a nice way you earn your living.
Alan, beautifully stated, by the way, too. I love what you just shared, because as far as the Holy Spirit, because that is spot on. It's spot on.
It's my experience. But I didn't get there.
It's a journey.
Yeah, it's a journey.
It's definitely a journey. It's going to continue to evolve as a journey as well. You know,
blessings as God, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because then you become a spokesperson for the Holy Spirit. You are a spokesperson for the energy of the divine comes through you and spreads out like a light to heal the other people. And so the ego doesn't block it. It doesn't say, well, I'm not worthy and doesn't make sense and I didn't get the degrees and like that. No, the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. The Holy Spirit is, and you can feel it in your body when the Holy Spirit, because you're very relaxed.
Yep.
You take a breath. There's very little tension in your body. And things come to you that have never come to you before. Just flow through you, and it turns out that you can heal with your words. And you said that you talked about healing with your words. So let's talk a little bit about we got some time here. Let's
That's
talk
cool.
about the healing of word with our words and the things that you can say. And I love the self talk you did also, because that's spot on.
You know, I feel, and I know this, and I've kind of studied this, you know, throughout my life, is everything has a vibration to it. Words, feelings, thoughts. I really came across a book. I want to say it's been almost 20 years ago. That was like one of those epiphany moments. And it's called The Power of Words. And I don't remember the author, but that book was a game changer for me, because we think about, you know, what comes out of your mouth. You know, some of us are, you know, we'd say a cuss word every so often, but that's a lower vibration. And it's like, it's about, you know, raising your vibration and frequency. Like just for an example, if you were to close your eyes and just feel the words, you know, when somebody says them, like feel the word love. Okay. All right. Feel the word disappointment. Okay, now feel the word peace. And now feel the word appreciation. And now feel the word anger. And now feel the word serenity. So, what did you notice with each word? What did you sense?
Well, it's the hot air balloon goes up with the loving words, and the hot air balloon goes down with the heavy, righteous, ego defensive, judgmental words.
Yeah. So expansiveness and constriction as
you
well.
Bet. Yep.
Yeah. So this is what happens when those are just the words, and you could feel that, because we're all, I'm going to say, somatic creatures. We feel things in our bodies. We have been duped into believing not to feel. You know, many of us grew up in households. I know I did. I'm a product of the 60s. And my mom's MO was, ignore it. It'll go away. You say that to an empath, intuitive, and highly sensitive person, to ignore it, guess what? It gets bigger, because it kept getting bigger. And I used to say, it's not going away, Mom. It's getting bigger. But what I'm saying is that everything has an energy to it. When we try to control that, this is where, you know, our mind comes in and we're trying to stomp it out and trying to make something happen. It's essential to feel whatever is happening with you in the moment. Because remember, everything is energy. Feelings are also energy. When you don't feel them, it's like pockets of energy that get trapped in your energetic space, and it eventually comes into your physical body. And after having a lifetime of not feeling, people have created some pretty nasty things for themselves. Okay. My mom, in fact, too, you know, my mother, bless her heart, she, you know, our parents do the best that they can with what they know.
You bet.
And I love my mom to death, and she's transitioned and been on the other side for 12 years, but she died of inoperable pancreatic cancer from a lifetime of internalizing her emotions. Okay. So there's a big component to feeling. Mm-hmm. Feeling is an important thing. It's our inner barometer that allows us to know when we are in danger or not. Okay. Because it's all interconnected. When we look at our animal friends, okay, they are wired. They experience whatever's happening. Call it emotions. And animals do experience emotions. When people doubt that, when you, some people will, you know, get a pet and dispose of it and bring it back to the pound. That animal is affected by that more than you know, because you could feel that essence that's coming from that being. So that was a sidebar. It's circling back to emotions. We have been told by a society that don't feel your emotions, have a stiff upper lip, don't let people know what's going on. And then it's just like, who made those rules up? Seriously. You know, it's part of the human experience to have emotions and experience them. Did you know you have to have a body in order to experience your emotions?
Mm.
Did you know that?
I need a body. I know I need a body.
Yeah. But in order to.
I want a terrified body too.
Exactly. When you experience your emotions, it comes through you and you know, you have somatic things. A big telltale sign for me is when people say, I think I feel. There's no, I think I feel. When you think you feel, you're intellectualizing your emotions. You're not actually having an experience. It's like, I feel sad. Okay, great. Experience that. Feel what that feels like, because when you're able to take a step into that feeling, the next thing you know, you're going to take a step and you're going to be out of that because you experienced that, and that energy is going to dissipate and come to neutrality. Okay. You want to be able to experience and allow the energy of what that emotion is to come to neutrality.
Thank you for listening. And please catch us on the next great episode of the Mindful You podcast. And please share us with your friends and fellow travelers on the path.